You know, Luke, you asked me last week what are soaps doing that really pisses me off now, and it's every character should have one true love, right?
Correct.
And maybe if the true love dies, you know, you can have a mature love, a companionship who you love, but you know, they're not your true love. And Dave is really good at this. I mean, Pat is Kayla's true love, Bo is Hope's true love, John and Marlena. I mean, they never mess with that stuff. And Guiding Light, I mean, I can't decide who Olivia's true love is. Now it's Gus. She, you know, she has his heart and beating in her, which must piss Harley off, you know, to no extreme. And these characters, and GH does this too, it's like everyone's falling in love for the first time, and everyone's finding their soulmates, and then every 4 months, it's like, or sorry, every year, it's, you know, Liz, you're my true love. No, Robin, you're my true love. No, Carly, you're my true love. I mean, make up your mind.
Welcome to a special edition of the Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Tina and I are visiting with TV Guide Canada's Nelson Bronco. We're discussing some breaking news involving Andrea Evans, a whole bunch of rumors for all your favorite soaps, some confirmations about who's staying and who's leaving, and much, much more, so stay tuned. With me today, I have Tina, our ABC expert. Welcome.
Hello.
And once again, for a second appearance on Daytime Confidential, we have Nelson Bronco of TV Guide Canada. Welcome once again. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thank you, guys. I have to wake up a little bit. I was watching Guiding Light just earlier, so I fell asleep.
Oh, burn.
It's bad when your main hero dies and you don't feel anything. But thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Well, I was going to kick off with another topic, but since you brought up Guiding Light, there have been a lot of rumors swirling around the internet. One of the biggest ones that has picked up steam amongst online rumors has been whether or not Beth Ehlers will be leaving Guiding Light and possibly heading to All My Children as Haley, which is the rumor. With Ricky Paul Golden leaving, have you heard anything along those lines either way or where things might be headed?
You know what? I have no intel on that. I'm trying to find out. It wouldn't surprise me. I know Beth pretty well. We go when I was at Soap Opera Update. Guiding Light and As Well Turns are my shows that I covered, and Beth and I are pretty close. And I know she's really loyal to Guiding Light. And you know, I think part of her would probably. I mean, I'm just theorizing here. I think she probably wants to stay on Guiding Light, but it's such a different show now. I feel so sorry for those people there. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to be the an actor on a PNG show, especially Guiding Light. But I think, you know what, I think the Haley recast would probably, it may piss Kelly Ripa off, but I think, you know, she'd make an amazing, formidable Haley. So, when you repair super couples from another show on another show, we usually know that's dangerous and doesn't always work. So I think maybe Ricky and Beth may... I don't know. They probably want to analyze that, if they want to pair Haley and, Jake Martin.
ABC has been known, though, to try and catch lightning in a bottle twice, though.
Yeah, Mary Beth Evans, Stephen Nichols, you know, the list goes on. I'm all for it. I think, you know, I'm this close to naming Guiding Light the worst show on television, like the worst soap, at least, on television, even, you know, surpassing Passions. I mean... it's so hard to watch that show. It's like torture. I'm like, so it's the most fast-forwarded show, at least in my home.
Well, there's been some other Guiding Light rumors, one of which has a connection to General Hospital. There's questions as to whether or not Rick Hurst will renew his contract on General Hospital. If he were to leave, do you think Guiding Light has any hope of landing him just because of the fact that he would be a big name and they could potentially put a whole bunch of things in place to fill the voids that are of people leaving?
Well, I don't know if, you know, Guiding Light can afford Rick Hurst. You know, he's probably making a lot at ABC. I think they would be stupid not to go after him. I mean, Rick Hurst is needed badly as Alan Michael. I know a lot of people are, you know, postulating that Rick Hertz is going to be killed off on GH. I really haven't heard that. I mean, I know I know three hunks that are going to be killed off, you know, in the next month or so, and people are, you know, guessing that it's Rick Hertz. And I'll put you out of your misery. I don't know that it's Rick Hertz that's leaving GH. It's you know, he's not the one. That's three. So I don't know. I don't think, you know, when you're when you're an actor living in LA, you don't want to uproot your family necessarily, especially when you have kids, all the way back to New York. So, and also the money's out in the left coast, as we like to say. So, I don't know. If I was P&G, I would try to, you know, find any amount of cash I can and throw it his way, because we need, you know, the Spalding family needs to be rebuilt. Either get Grant Alexander back, and I don't know why that's not happening, or get, you know, or throw some money Rick Hertz's way to make the move, you know, justifiable.
The other big juicy rumor continues to be whether or not Marcy Ryland will leave Guiding Light as Lizzie. And there's been some rumors online, and hopefully you can help to clear those up, as to whether or not Martha Madison might be taking over the role of Lizzie. Have you heard anything about that, or is there anything that you can say about that at this point?
Well, all I can say is that she's been testing. She's met producers at some New York shows. You know, she's made no secret that she wants to return to soaps. I know they're recasting either Lizzie or Mara Shane, but I can't, you know, confirm which role it is. Or, you know, it could actually be both roles.
Now, that would be something. Martha Madison playing both Lizzie and Mara Shane. Now, that would be something. No, just joking. Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, they could be recasting both shows, both roles. But you know what? I really want Martha Madison, a woman, to live as Sarah Roberts. I mean, you know, Justice Holdings, you know, she's an adequate actress. She's not the worst actor ever. But she's just, this is not Tina Lord Roberts' daughter. And I think Martha Madison, you know, she has this Texan charm. She's super gorgeous, especially in person. And she can act, and she can cry. So, you know, I really, you know, would love if One Life to Live kind of hired her. But I don't think that's happening.
Well, wouldn't that then also put into question, if they did hire her as star, wouldn't that be a little bit complicated? I'm a little bit fuzzy on my One Life to Live history, but there's been a bunch of rumors going around of whether or not Brandon Beamer could end up on either Bold and the Beautiful or One Life to Live. If he ended up on One Life to Live as Joey, that would make a repairing of that couple almost impossible, would it not?
Yeah, I don't think Brandon's moving to New York to do One Life to Live. I know that there was some interest there, but he's happy on the West Coast. He's, you know, he's dating Nadia, who's on Days. So I don't think that's going to happen. But, with Andrea Evans rumors, you know, Andrea Evans is coming back to the show in May. I would think they would want to beef up Sarah Roberts, but I don't know if it's happening. I think Justice is there for a while, but I'm sure, you know, the powers that be know that we're not too pleased with Justice's interpretation of Sarah. I mean, Sarah was a huge role in the past. I mean, she helped redeem Todd Manning as a kid. Even, you know, the little girl with black hair before Hayden Panettiere played the role of Sarah Roberts. You know, she was, like, on every day, her and CJ. So this is not the Sarah Roberts I've grown to love.
Yeah, I can't see Justice playing with Andrea Evans. It just doesn't fly in my mind.
No, I think Andrea Evans would slap her if she was, you know. So I would just slap her.
Oh, come
It'd
on.
Be cool, you know, and they need to explain why Sarah, you know, has, you know, been running away from her parents all these months, I mean, or all these years. So there's a lot of holes in that story. I always kind of wanted them to do sort of Bianca Erica story where Sarah was, like, turned out to be gay, and that would kind of explain why she was, you know, kind of in transit all the time and staying away from her parents. So, and, you know, Tina having a lesbian daughter would be, you know, she'd probably respond the same way Erica Kane did.
So where do you think Tina's been all this time?
I don't know. Andrea Evans said she's up to no good. I interviewed Andrea Evans last summer, and she said she's obviously up to no good. And I would love it if she was with David Vicker somewhere, plotting, you know, to come back. And you know, Chuck Watkins is coming back in early May. And, I haven't confirmed the show yet, but I'm hearing from various sources that a deal has been signed with Andrea Evans to return in May for a short-term gig. One Life to Live was dark this week, so I haven't been able to get a hold of anyone to confirm. So it's pretty exciting. I think Woman's Foot is really going to explode in May.
Do you think it's going to be something where they might get her back for initial short-term run and then hopefully try and woo her back for a more permanent contract, like sort of like they did with Tuck Watkins?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, again, she lives in the West Coast. She probably wants to see, you know, you're not going to uproot your life. And, you know, you want to know if it works. And I'm sure, you know, she has a lot of history there. And she's, every superstar has returned to their show, like, in the last decade. And the one person I've been waiting for is Andrea Evans to reclaim her role as Tina Roberts. And this is the greatest thing to happen for me, because I'm a huge Andrea Evans, Tina Roberts fan. You know, Tony Geary's come back, Jeanie Francis come back, Stephen Nichols, Mary Beth Evans, I mean, you know, Debbie Morgan, Darnell Williams, and she's like the only one left for me. So I'm really excited this is about to happen. So, and I know the role means a lot to her. So I think she probably wants to come back, test the waters, you know, see how the return works, and then maybe go from there and make a decision.
I think a short-term thing is probably really good for her, considering her personal history with the show and how she left the show.
Yeah, she told me that she's over, you know, that whole stalker thing. She's kind of, you know, put it in the past because she always goes back to New York and visits One Life to Live. She said the final chapter of her catharsis would be really to go back and play Tina, and then she could really put it away. So I think, you know, this is going to be probably, Angie and Jesse are probably the best comeback of the year, but you know, I wouldn't have any problem saying Andrea Evans is the best comeback of the year at the end of the day, because I'm really excited.
Well, you heard it here first. Andrea Evans is officially returning, and be sure to check out Nelson's The Suds Report for even more details to be able to read it there first. What else is going on at One Life to Live?
Well, not much. I mean, God, I just watched 4 episodes in 20 minutes, so, you know, do the math. Ron Carlovati's work doesn't start until May 2nd, so I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to be him. I mean, to watch a show, like, be slowly destroyed by scabs. But, you know, it's the reality of the writer's strike, so we all have to deal with it. I just, you know, I don't, even though scabs are writing, you know, all of daytime, I just have to wonder, why didn't producers like Frank Valentini go, you know, can you give us a rewrite, please? I mean, it sucks. I mean, sometimes I wonder if producers just take what's handed to them and they produce it.
It really seems like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of producers producing and directors directing and writers writing. But part of a producer and a director's job is seeking great material and getting it to work. And I just wonder, like, you know, this is not the One Life to Live. I know it's so plot driven. I was really tough on One Life to Live this past week in the Nelson ratings. Because, you know, I'm fast-forwarding through most of this, most of the scenes, the characters aren't acting, you know, like themselves. But I've been assured that May is going to, you know, kick ass, and it's going to make up for it. And he's, I think we've made the assumption that he was rewriting when he came back from the strike. And I think he rewrote maybe a few scenes. I can only assume that he wrote the Todd Manning, you know, monster scenes where he beat up Cole and caught Star in bed with him. Because they were so fantastic, and they were so Ron Carlovati-esque. But I think he probably rewrote a few things, but, you know, he had to focus on writing the summer and the spring, right?
It just seems like it's really late in comparison to when the other writers' stuff starts airing. Or is it just
Sorry,
me?
What do you mean by that?
Well, it seems like what we're starting to see on General Hospital already starting to look very Guza, and we're in April.
Exactly. And, you know, some shows are ahead of the game. I mean, I think One Life is about maybe 6 weeks. I think that's probably why they took this week, that they're dark this week. I mean, they're probably trying to, usually they're three, I mean, the olden days were 3 weeks ahead from taping. So you could easily, you know, rewrite stuff. But, you know, some shows are, I mean, Days of Our Lives. I mean, that's Dina Higley's show. I mean, there's nothing Hogan Chef. There hasn't been anything Hogan Chef or ask about that show in a while. So, you know, I was pretty hard on Carlovati by saying, you know, enough time's passed, but most of these shows were so scared about the writer's strike that they started taping so much farther in advance that now they can't play catch-up, so they kind of shot themselves in their foot that way. That's why the jokes were good during the writer's strike.
Like, oh, I don't know about that.
Well, Ron actually penned Long-Term Story right up till the Red Ball. So that was when the week Redball started airing was when the writer's strike ended. So with soaps, I mean, it's the opposite of the primetime world. You know, things sort of just halted right away because they just couldn't film. But in daytime, the writer's strike was actually, you know, mostly enjoyable. Now we're actually seeing the residue of it in the aftermath.
Yeah, I've been grinding my teeth now for weeks with General Hospital. So.
I love when you grind your teeth. It's my favorite part of Daytime Confidential.
It really is. Oh, thank you.
And Luke's gaff.
Yeah. It's almost become trademark. It's almost become trademark.
Have you seen the ratings that came out today?
Yeah, I mean, ABC pretty much dropped all the way through, right?
Yeah, there's a new low rating for GH and One Life to Live and All My Children Tied, its lowest rating. But all of them went down.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I haven't really, in the last 2 or 3 months, really been, you know, psyched about anything, really, other than maybe Days. Days is pretty much, it's pretty high up there now, isn't it? It's like 3 or 4.
It's
even Guiding Light has, like, increased.
No, it tied its low rating, 1.8.
It's a little high up there. Yeah, you know what? I don't analyze the ratings. I mean, there's a couple of reasons why I don't analyze ratings in my Suds report. A, you know, there's a Canadian column, you know, so we have different rating systems here. And also, you know, everyone pretty much has the same amount of audience, so there's no point in me, really. I mean, everyone pretty much has 2 million viewers except for YNR and B&B. So gaining a few thousand extra viewers every, you know, fluctuation in viewers of 1,000 or 100,000 doesn't really change someone's financial position on soaps. And they only really look at 18 to 49 demos, women demos, and they weren't out today when I read them.
This is sort of off the topic of One Life to Live, but what are you hearing? Are you hearing anything about the behind-the-scenes stuff on All My Children with Agnes Nixon?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because I just actually, it was when I was talking to my children about Jacob Young, I did ask actually. I said, you know, I mean, Agnes Nixon had been, you know, officially a consultant on All My Children, you know, since she's sort of semi-retired. And I think, you know, they call her up and ask her for input and stuff. I mean, from what I've heard, is she, her involvement is maybe a bit exaggerated, you know, than what ABC would like us to think. I do believe that she, you know, consulted on the Angie Jesse return, and she was recently on set. When I asked, you know, how responsible is Agnes for what we're seeing on screen, and that's, of course, I'm very, very happy to hear this answer, because then, you know, I'd be shocked if she was involved. But they say she's just a consultant. That's just their official line. So, you know, I think Agnes is probably just, well, I don't even know, you know, I mean, how can you have created the show and be able to have watched All My Children this past year?
True.
So sometimes I question if she's watching the show. I mean, I don't know. I'd be stunned. I mean, if she was watching the show, how they've ruined the show the past couple of years, I mean, I'd just walk right in and write the damn thing myself. I mean, my dead grandmother could write better soap operas.
Well,
you know, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much she's good. You know, the Angie Jesse story has been magnificent, and even, you know, the way we've had to suspend our disbelief in terms of Jesse's death. I mean, even I think that sort of works, you know. I mean, it's much more realistic than anything Dave, you know, has explained to us. So I think maybe she's consulted, but I can't imagine seeing your favorite child, you know, being raped and murdered and pillaged right in front of your eyes and not sort of being involved. But she's, you know, she's retiring. I mean, she's, you know, I've lost a few times I've seen her. I mean, she's, you know, she's retiring. She's retired, I think.
She definitely seemed like, you know, she was involved somehow in that Angie Jesse story, because it is so different from the rest of the soap.
Oh, yes, and I'm totally, I think that's true. But, you know, in terms of the past few years, I mean, she's been a consultant with AMC, like, since she left officially. So, you know, I mean, how do you explain Megan Mithavish? I mean, so I think she's probably just left it alone, left her check.
I want to pick up on something that you just said, because it was almost sort of a throwaway comment, but are you confirming that Jacob Young has officially re-signed with All My Children? Because I don't believe that's been reported anywhere as of yet, officially.
Well, he hasn't officially, well, all I know is I went on a tangent there. I called All My Children because there's been all these rumors about Jacob leaving, and, you know, there always are, you know, he's about to bolt from Pine Valley. But this time it sounded a little bit more serious. So I checked in actually today, and Michael Cohen, the publicist, said, no, he's not going anywhere. So I don't know if he's resigned or if he's already signed. I mean, they don't like to comment on rumors, on contract negotiations, but I got a definitive, he's not going anywhere. So, you know.
Do you think anyone is going anywhere from All My Children? Because it seems to be sinking.
Well, you know, it's not Guiding Light. I mean, everyone's bolting from Guiding Light, and it seems to be they seem to be going to All My Children, which, you know, explain that to me. If I was on a P&G show, I'd be going to Y&R, B&B, maybe One Life to Live, or heck, even GH. I mean, at least you know your job is secure. You know, Luke, you asked me last week what are soaps doing that really pisses me off now, and it's every character should have one true love, right?
Correct.
And maybe if the true love dies, you know, you can have a mature love, a companionship who you love, but, you know, they're not your true love. And Dave is really good at this. I mean, Patch is Kayla's true love, Bo is Hope's true love, John and Marlena. I mean, they never mess with that stuff. And Guiding Light, I mean, I can't decide who Olivia's true love is. Now it's Gus. She, you know, she has his heart and beating in her, which must piss Harley off, you know, to no extreme. And these characters, and GH does this too, it's like everyone's falling in love for the first time and everyone's finding their soulmates, and then every 4 months, it's like, or sorry, every year, it's, you know, Liz, you're my true love. No, Robin, you're my true love. No, Carly, you're my true love. I mean, make up your mind. So,
yeah, GH has only gotten it right with Luke. You know, Laura was his one true love and Tracy's like his mature love.
Yeah, that's the only example that GH has, you know, done well. But yeah, it really pisses me off that stuff. And you know, I think AMC does the same thing. You know, it's like Zach and Kendall and Zach and Ryan and Greenlee and Ryan. I can't figure out who to root for, you know. And then you kind of bastardize the love stories in your history, you know, that's come before you. And so it's really hard to, you know, you lose integrity that way, and it's hard to really invest in the show as a viewer. And I think soaps really need to stop doing that. You know, decide who someone's true love is and soulmate and stick to it. You know, shit happens. You know, someone dies. You know, or maybe you break up with someone, your heart's been broken, and you move on. You know, like the Josh Cassie thing on Guiding Light. You know, that could kind of be, you know, justified a bit. But, you know, don't sell it at, like, Cassie's the new Reva.
I don't really watch a lot of Guiding Light. In fact, someone told me not too long ago that I should listen to it instead of watch it. It's more interesting that way.
Oh, yeah, just barely. Just barely.
So have you heard any more on Jeannie Francis?
Jeannie Francis, I haven't heard, but, you know, it sounds like it's happening. I mean, it sounds like they're in negotiations. I don't know what GH is thinking. I mean, I don't know how they're going to use her. I hope she doesn't come back and she's, you know, just a prop. I heard on the ABC podcast of yours, the three sort of circulating rumors. I haven't heard any of those, but, you know, I hear it could be another short-term thing or she's just going to come back sort of a supporting character. So, I don't know. I think it's really important to have Jeannie Francis back on that show. I mean, that's, you know, first order of business if I was the producer there.
What's really going on with this whole Dylan Cash's Michael story? What's going to happen?
He's going to be in a coma, and they say that they won't be bringing Michael back for a while. So, you know, Jesse Soffer gets, you know, Soffer gets another job. I don't know what's happening. So, you know, Soap Opera Weekly has Jesse Soffer on the cover saying, you know, is he the new Michael? You know, my sources are also telling me that, you know, Michael's going to be in a coma at least for, you know, 3-4 months, and then they'll, you know, still ask him. So I wouldn't, you know, expect a recast very soon.
Yeah, but I definitely think it's going down the recast road.
Oh, totally. They're totally going to still ask him for sure. But don't expect it, like, right away.
I wanted to ask you, there's been some stuff with post-strike and pre-strike things going on. The writer's strike wrapped up, and now we have the WGA has filed arbitration against Corday and ABC. Are the writers, Essenstein and Brown, in trouble at All My Children for having gone FICOR? Or Is this more of a Days of Our Lives issue? And if so, what's going to happen to Days of Our Lives with it being on the upswing? And then if Dina Higley would be gone after, what's going on with the writer's strike post?
Yeah, you know, I really hope Dave doesn't get screwed here because, you know, I'm really enjoying the show and I think they're, you know, hitting all the right notes with Dina. I mean, surprise, surprise. I mean, you know, that's what it says. Fine. Nelson ratings, I mean, when Dina Higley's Days of Her Life is better than One Makes a Live, I mean, you know, you have a problem. But, yeah, I mean, I was told that Dina Higley was head writing the show during the writer's strike or towards the end of the writer's strike. So, you know, Dave could be in trouble. I don't know if you can, you know, pay a fine and maybe get away with it. I don't know if they can prove it. And all my children, Edmondson and Brown, they did go... they went on strike, I think, and then they went FICE course. So I think ABC has done nothing wrong legally. You know, maybe ethically they did. But, you know, I can't imagine being part of a guild and, you know, not going on strike with your peers and then going back to work. I mean, I don't know. Ethically, I think there's, you know, there's something to look at there. But I think AMC's in free and clear. I'm worried about Days. I don't know.
Could there be some repercussions potentially if things keep going or keep snowballing?
You know, this really hasn't happened before. I mean, it happened in the writer's strike in the 80s, but, you know, no one really got caught. There wasn't the internet and, you know, the mass media covering soap. So things were done on the QT, but I don't know how they're going to get out of this one. You know, James Reynolds told me that Dina Higley was writing the show and that Hogan Sheffer was out. I mean, I think, you know, this grievance is completely justified and merited. I mean, Hogan, these writers went on strike, they were picketing, and they were all replaced, and the scabs are still there, and they're out of a job. I mean, they left the show. They weren't even fired. They went to picket with their guild, and now they can't go back to the show. I mean, that's, you know, immoral. I mean, unethical. It's just insane. So, of course, Days is... Sorry, go on.
That's all right. I just was going to say, I just don't understand it with the All My Children because, you know, the guild does leave this FICOR door open. They can't be upset when people walk through it. But at Days, the situation is completely different because it's like the entire writing team disappeared and went on strike, and then all these FICOR people came in that weren't on the show before that. And now you have... basically those FICOR writers still there and the original writing team is gone and they have no job, and that just doesn't make any sense at all. And then they said, you know, that some people went FICOR and were never used.
Yeah, I mean, that could be part of it. And I also think, you know, even though Megan McTavish sort of retracted what she told the New York Times, she sort of exposed, you know, Brown and Edmondson being back at AMC. She would sort of said she was misquoted or whatever. So maybe that New York Times article just sort of initiated, you know, an investigation. But I think ABC, if I know ABC, you know, as well as I think I do, they dot every I and cross every T. I mean, they've had a lot of legal issues with stars and writers in the past. They wouldn't jeopardize, I think, their franchise by doing something, you know, illegal or, you know, that would come back to bite them in the butt. So I think the AMC thing will probably go away. But Days, I'm a little worried about Days, I have to admit.
Is it possible that if this were to happen and they were able to get proof of it and the fine is so large that it could just be something to this extent where NBC would rather not even deal with it, could cancellation become a factor, or is it just more of a head writer issue?
I think it's just sort of a guild issue, trying to slap the hand so this doesn't, you know, slap their hand so it doesn't happen again. I think they're probably, I mean, a lot of insiders that I spoke to didn't think the guild would even care or notice about this. I mean, the daytime franchise or a branch isn't, you know, that important to the whole Writers Guild. But obviously, I know this for a fact. I know a lot of former soap head writers have been complaining to the guild a lot about what happened this past strike.
Mm.
So I think a lot of people are unhappy. A lot of writers are unhappy. I think a lot of of those writers, and not the writers who couldn't go back to their job. I mean, these are just, I think, unemployed soap writers who maybe see a pot, you know, or they're just pissed off, and they have a right to be. But as for NBC, I mean, I think NBC, I mean, I don't think this hasn't, you know, this is going to affect their decision at all. And I hear that they're going to be renewed. You know, they haven't renewed it yet. I don't know what's taking so long. I think the NBC upfronts were this week. So hopefully we'll find out any day soon if they'll be renewed. But I don't think this is a huge impact. This won't impact the future of the show, I don't think. I mean, except for the, you know, unless you consider writing important.
Well,
do you think any of this could be in some way trying to help out the SAG and letting the networks know that they are keeping an eye on everything that's going on with the possibility of an actor's strike?
No, I don't think they're right. Well, I mean, you know, they've sort of in the primetime film world, SAG and AFTRA and the Writers Guild kind of, you know, they're in communication. I think, I don't think any actor, no network, the actors are not going to strike. I mean, you know how much money they would lose if actors, it's not going to happen. I mean, they're in negotiations and, you know, it'll get tough and, you know, both sides will have to compromise and they'll reach an agreement. If they went on strike, actors, I mean, I would be so shocked. I mean, completely shocked.
Because that's part of the whole controversy surrounding The Bold and the Beautiful Susan Flannery at the moment is that reportedly she circulated a petition to try and get Bold and the Beautiful to go SAG instead of AFTRA, and AFTRA used her basically as a whipping boy and decided to go and split from SAG from the upcoming actors' negotiations, which I believe the actors go on strike the beginning of June if they don't get some sort of agreement to take place. What, potentially, if they were to go on strike, basically would there only be about a 3-week window for the soaps to survive, and then if not, things would basically be at death's door? Or would they have to record live episodes until they were able to get it caught up?
Well, I mean, I think the soaps would just, you know, I mean, I don't think it'll happen because they'd have to stop airing the soaps. I mean, I actually emailed the B&B publicist. I don't feel comfortable talking about Susan Flannery until I know that this actually happened. And I know there's just really rumors and speculation about her sort of being the catalyst for all this. So I haven't heard back yet. Hopefully, I would love to speak to her about it. It's, you know, a little ironic that she's retiring in a couple of years, but, you know, she's an actor and she's an actor's actor, and maybe she's looking out for her, you know, her crew. You know, rumors suggest that maybe the entire cast of B&B is on her side and want to move over to SAG. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's just, I think it doesn't seem that much as an actor strike as, like, you know, a fight to the death between actor and SAG to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I want to do a quick follow-up on your last visit on the podcast when you talked about Victoria Rawl. Any update on that?
Well, this week, you know, it was announced that Drusilla's ballet teacher is coming back to counsel Lily. And I don't know how you guys are going to feel about this, but Lily learns she's pregnant the same week One Life Live star learns she's pregnant. So that's happening next week. Lily's preggers, and Drew's ballet teacher comes to sort of counsel her. So I announced in my SUDS report this week that Victoria Rawl watch is officially on. So it looks like they're inching up towards that. If Drew comes back and she learns she's a grandmother, I mean, hell hath no fury.
Like Drusilla scorned?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. So I would expect her to come back. I haven't heard anything. I think, you know, they're, you know, just wheeling and dealing. Don't forget, you know, Vicky's touring with her book. She's writing a new book. She's campaigning for Hillary Clinton. So she's busy. So it's probably just a scheduling issue, and that's why I said, you know, I wouldn't, you know, in the next few months, I'm sure she'll find something at least.
Well, finally, I wanted to ask you, we reported it on the website today or yesterday, I'm not sure which it was, SoapNet has acquired the Canadian soap, the secret MVP, The Secret Lives of Hockey Wives. Being a Canadian, can you tell us anything about what we should expect? Is this like the Canadian version of Britain's Footballers' Wives on Ice, or is it something more like Desperate Housewives, or what should we be looking forward to?
It is totally the Canadian version of
Footballers' Wives. Nice, love that.
And it's actually, I covered the show. I covered the entire launch of the show and the whole show for Hello Canada, who actually, my magazine actually inspired the creator. She was coming in from London. She was reading Hello Magazine, and she saw, you know, the brouhaha over Footballers' Wives and then David Beckham. And she went, you know, what are the lives of the wives of hockey players? I mean, you know, because you have a Canadian and a sport, so you bring in men with all the sports, and you bring all the women with all the, you know, soapy stuff with the wives. So that's how she created the idea. It was a hit on CBC, which is our Canadian network, but they canceled it like a month ago because it was too expensive to produce. So I guess they went to SoapNet, sold it. Brian Franz, thank you so much, because it's, you know, it's not Shakespeare, but, you know, it's way better than General Hospital, I'll give you that. And it's campy, it's well-produced, it's really expensive-looking and fun, really hot guys, really talented actors. So I would definitely, you know, urge everyone to check it out. And now because SoapNet bought it, the show is now not really canceled. So if it does well on SoapNet, ABC is going to finance other seasons.
I was going to ask that because that has happened before where American networks picks up a Canadian or British show and then all of a sudden the show that was canceled is somehow miraculously uncanceled. So that...
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem in Canada. I mean, we cancel hit shows here. I mean, you guys cancel low-rated shows because you have so much money because you have 300 million people to watch, so you have a huge market. We have 30 million people. So, you know, our shows may be high-rated, but they don't bring in that much ad revenue, so they're more expensive to produce, even though they're hits. So you need to have co-production. So I'm really, really happy SoapNet did this, because, you know, they've been going sort of, they've been shying away from the soap genre a little bit with these movies,
oh, God.
And reality programming. So I'm glad they, you know, they actually bought a soap.
Well, and supposedly SoapNet's ratings were down 15 or 17% in the last quarter, so maybe this will help things out when it airs. In conclusion, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you wanted to slip in?
Well, you know what? Soap Opera Weekly has a really interesting rumor this week, and I was really, like, I jumped out of my chair when I read it. They're suggesting that Caitlin Van Zandt from Guiding Light had lap band surgery, and because Ashley just went to consult about lap band surgery, and they're suggesting, you know, maybe this is a major social issue storyline that Guiding Light's going to tackle, which, you know, when was the last time they did that?
And we plan on discussing that in this next week's episode on the CBS edition, because that was something that once it aired on television, it was like, okay, I'm not sure where this is headed.
Yeah, I mean, and for them to suggest that Caitlin had the surgery, I mean, they obviously must know something, because, I mean, that's quite the... I mean, that can be interpreted, you know, just many different ways, you know, usually badly. You know, you're suggesting that she had the surgery, and maybe she's proud to be an overweight actress, and maybe she wants to keep her weight on, but they must have some inside knowledge, I would think, for them to suggest that.
I'm just thinking back, you were mentioning earlier that a couple actors may or may not be out at All My Children, and there is a rumor going around that Opal is going to be a victim during the May sweeps. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't. My AMC, I'll admit, my AMC sources aren't, you know, as great as my other soaps. But I'm worried about this rumor, and I'll tell you why, because this whole Gardner thing is coming back. So, the last month or so seeing Opal back on screen has just really lifted my spirits. There are certain actors that can sell crap and make it into gold. Crystal Chappelle is one of them. And Jill Larson's another one. She really made me sort of pay attention. And I'm a little worried about this one, I have to say. I don't know. I don't know anything. It wouldn't surprise me, that's for sure. It seems like the writing's sort of going in that direction.
Well, ABC has this horrible tendency of bringing people off the back burner to put them on just to kill them.
Yes, exactly. I mean, just the fact that Jill Larson's back on the show worries me, right? Because why is she back on the show? I mean, you're obviously... you know, bringing someone back that's related to her, or you're going to kill her off. I mean, there's just, those are the two options.
And I'm not meaning to begrudge someone else, but would, because of the fact that the actor who plays Palmer, he's had health problems in recent years and everything, if you're going to blow up that mansion, it would seem, at least from a more obvious standpoint, if the guy has not had good health and he's recovering and he's not able to show up as much, we've seen him maybe, what, 3 times in the last 6 months? It would seem that that would be a more obvious thing to do. I mean, it would be just as terrible, but still, I mean, we've seen Opal way more than we've seen Palmer in the last year.
You know what? I just want to slap all these executives in the face sometimes. I mean, they don't realize that veterans play. I mean, veterans. I mean, look at what's happening to Days. I mean, they're playing their veterans. They're writing character-driven storylines. It's not brain science. I don't know. That's what it makes me think, that they're actually ruining their genre on purpose. I mean, why wouldn't you... The first thing I would do on a soap, fill in the blanks from other regimes, bring in fan favorites, like, bring in fan favorites, and not like Ezra Turns does, and recast them. You bring in the real people that played the role first, right? You don't bring in, like, an 18-year-old to play Mike Kasnoff. I mean, you just don't do that. Why? Just create a new character.
You have to bring them in and keep them, you know, true to the character. Yeah, G.H., Anna Devane is not a fangirl.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I mean, G.H., you know what, G.H. may be, you know, they may be reading your website because, you know, Finola Hughes or, you know, Jeannie Francis may be next. They're playing Scrubs a little bit more. I don't know, maybe, I mean, I watched the show today and I had to fast forward. I have no enthusiasm for G.H. It's just a ridiculous 13-year-old boy show. It's written by a 13-year-old boy, and it's meant for 13-year-old boys. I mean, I just can't get into it. I just can't. It seems okay on paper. I mean, I can see how, you know, Jill Fehrenfeld signs off on it, but I don't understand why you don't play your veterans, why they're systematically killing off the Quartermains, your money family. It doesn't make sense.
What did you think of General Hospital's 45-second tribute, or 47-second tribute to 45 years?
Well, I mean, clearly that's what they think of their history, right? I mean, that more time spent on their history than they have all year.
Well, you have to realize that if they bring up the history, it just shows how bad the current product is now.
Well, exactly. I'm surprised they did the 45 seconds. I really thought they were going to ignore the whole thing. I mean, remember back in the day when it was your anniversary? Soap Opera Digest did a cover. Soap Opera Weekly did a cover with veterans on their cover. It was a week-long celebration. You even brought fan favorites back, et cetera, et cetera. You would think, I mean, I would think that if you're still on the air after all this time, I would really throw a big party. I would throw a really big party.
Yeah, no.
Like, rent out Disney World and let's have a party. We're still on the air.
Do you think One Life to Live is going to handle their anniversary any better?
Oh, yes, yes. I've heard what's on the docket, and it's going to be good. And I trust Ron Carlovati. You know, as long as he's writing the show, which is going to happen soon. You know, this next month may be torturous, but yeah, they're already bringing Andrea Evans back, and you know, I know some other plans that I can't talk about. It's going to be really off the hook.
Well, that is amazing. As always, we love having you on. We would encourage everybody to check out Nelson Bronco's Suds Report. We have a link to it in our favorite link section on Daytime Confidential. We also link to it when he posts it because he always has something in there that we can run as a headline. It's been a pleasure visiting with you once again. You're always welcome to join us once again. And maybe next time, if you do, we'll have Mike on. Get everybody have a chance to visit with you.
Yes, as long as Mike's split personality doesn't come
out. Okay.
He scares me. His split personality really scares me, almost as much as Tina's teeth grinding. Jay and Luke's battle.
Yes, well, those battles go on off.
You guys are two great soap people.
Off air and on air, shall we say? We debate the topics of soaps on Instant Messenger almost as much as we do on the air. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Well, that's what you guys should print.
Oh yeah, there you go. We thank you so much for joining us tonight. As always, it's been a pleasure. We hope that you can return soon. Be sure to check out his column at TV Guide Canada. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Tina.